Hi, I'm Dr. Danny Chaban with Dominion Women's Health. I'm the founder of Dominion Women's Health here in Richmond, Virginia. Practice has been around for almost 20 years. We have 5 physicians, 4 mid-levels, and 2 midwives. And over the past 20 years, we've tried to give our patients the best approach in women's health, the most high-tech approach with minimally invasive surgeries, robotics, digital colposcopy, as well as high-risk and low-risk obstetrical deliveries. So over the past 20 years, we've dealt with hormone therapy and talking to our patients in regards to what are the positives and the negatives with hormone therapy, what are the different types of hormone therapy. So what we decided to start up with is podcasts, and we're going to be doing 2 podcasts a month and picking different topics. And today's topic is going to be about hormone therapy. So a lot of questions are asked of what are hormones? And hormones are an integral part of the human pathway in your messenger system to the body. What effects do they have on your body? They affect your emotions, they affect your growth, your skin, your hair, your ability to comprehend situations that are given to you. How are bioidentical hormones compared to other hormones? If you think about it, hormones are man-made in general for replacement. So bioidentical hormones are man-made hormones that are to be identical to your own body's natural hormone. So what we try to explain to patients when we're dealing with bioidentical hormones is molecularly they're to be identical to your own natural hormone to where you can break them down easier. You could potentially use less hormone than you would with a synthetic hormone. There's different ways of getting to the options with hormones. A lot of times, if you look back since 2002, when there was the Women's Health Initiative trial, which scared pretty much 4 million women off of hormones. Because back in the olden days, in the 80s and 90s, people thought hormones were the saving grace. They would cure cancers, they would cure heart disease, they would cure everything. And the Women's Health Initiative trial disputed a lot of that, which was true. But also in that study, they failed to talk about some of the benefits of hormone replacement therapy, such as your bone density, your colon cancer risk factors being decreased, and your sense of well-being. So how do we use hormone therapy in women's health? So what we try to do is your body's naturally producing these hormones to keep things moving in a pace. You're trying to keep your emotions under check. You want to keep your bone health, your skin health, your heart health, your hair, everything. So as a woman is transitioning through perimenopause, menopause, and sometimes even in your 30s, your ovaries aren't producing these hormones to keep everything in balance. So what we tend to do is we measure your hormone levels and try to replace what you're missing. When you're dealing with bioidenticals, some patients will even ask, well, I went to a pharmacy or I went to a provider and they can do a saliva test versus a blood test. We tend not to use saliva tests because it's not giving you an accurate reading of exactly what hormones or what level you need. So we tend to use blood work. When you're dealing with man-made hormones, especially the bioidenticals that are plant-based, these are plants such as yams and soy, it tends to help to know exactly how much hormone is left in your patient's body, what they need, how their BMI is, and what their weight. So we tend to have these hormones compounded specifically for that patient. What are some of the signs? Patients tell me all the time, well, how do I know if potentially I need hormones? Well, a lot of times we talk to patients and we say, are you having hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, irritability, inability to lose weight, loss of sense of well-being, feeling like you can't concentrate, feeling like you're not as assertive as you used to be, your sex drive has dropped. Now, when we go to sex drive, patients will come in and go, oh my God, my sex drive. We always tell patients, we can definitely get you back to where you were, maybe even a little bit more. But if you haven't had a drive in the past, then we try to look at other hormones that could be functioning. in that aspect. So what are the different modalities for bioidentical hormone? Well, we tend to look at the modalities as in creams, pellets, and there's one or two different pills that you can use, but it's mainly creams and pellets. What are the advantages of creams and pellets over a pill? If you think about it, when you take a pill, you swallow it. That pill has to go through your stomach, get broken down by your stomach acids, the food that you ate, from there to your liver to your bloodstream. So if we look at it in that aspect, the dose has to be really high up to get through all that to make it to your blood supply. Where when we're dealing with a cream or a pellet, it's going from your skin into your subcutaneous fat, the little fat layer under your skin, and it's getting absorbed directly into your bloodstream. The advantage of that is there's what we call in the medical profession no first pass effect. It hasn't gone through your stomach to your liver, the liver to your bloodstream. So the nice thing about some of the creams and the pellets, there's no effect on medication that you're taking by mouth. What's the advantage of the creams over the pellets? The creams are really neat. You're given back estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and these hormones are absorbed. You put them on every morning, let it dry, and you go on your day. What's the downside to the creams? I think the only downside that I would think about is you just have to put it on every single day. And I'm going to step back just a little bit to talk about like what are the effects of the individual things that are in either the creams or the pellets. When I mentioned estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, the estrogen works really well with the hot flashes, the night sweats, the sleeping pattern, emotional, your skin moisture, your vaginal mucosa, getting that tissue healthy again. Those are some of the advantages with estrogen. And it also works a little bit also on your bone health. What are the advantages of taking testosterone? Because patients will ask me all the time, women don't produce testosterone. They really do. Your ovaries produce the estrogen, the testosterone, the progesterone, and testosterone is really important in women's health. It deals with body fat. It helps break down body fat. You have more muscle mass. It also helps with your bone density dramatically. It helps with your energy, your assertiveness, your metabolism, your sense of well-being, and last but not least, your sex drive. And what is the progesterone's effect? The most simplest way that I describe progesterone's effect on, for my patients is, I usually say if you have a uterus, the progesterone helps prevent the lining of the uterus from getting thick and you're having abnormal bleeding. So it balances off the estrogen effects. So moving on from the creams to the pellets. So what are the pellets? The pellets are basically the same compound from the compounding pharmacies. They're made from yams and soy, and it's estrogen and testosterone. And in the future with the podcast, maybe we'll even try to have a real patient that where we're inserting the pellets to show you what it's like and how simple it is. But the pellets are specifically designed for that individual patient. And what we do is we numb the skin on the buttocks. And for my athletes, like marathon runners and those, sometimes we put them in the little love handle. But we make numb it with some lidocaine, and we make a little incision to where we put a trocar, and it looks like a tiny little tube, and we place it into the fat, and we drop the pellets individually in there. And then we put a Steri-Strip and a little bandage, and we're done. What we tell our patients is you need to wear that Steri-Strip and bandage for 2 days. You can't go swimming in the river or go hiking or anything like that for just 2 days, and then you're back to your normal routine. What are the advantages of the pellets over taking a pill or a cream? The pellets, the way that I describe it is like that old infomercial, you set it and forget it. Once the pellets are in, they're set. You don't have to take anything every day, do anything every day. But that's also could be a trigger for, it's not like I can put the pellets in today and you show up tomorrow morning and go, you know, I thought about it. I think I want to take the pellets out. No, they're in there, they'll dissolve. They're tiny, like the size of a pen tip, but they dissolve over the next 4 to 6 months. The other biggest advantage of the pellets is there's no first pass effect, and you don't have to worry about your blood levels dropping. So what happens within a certain period of time, your levels of hormones reach peak and they stay that way for 4 to 6 months. So unlike a pill that you take in the morning, but by the evening, your levels have already started dropping, or unlike the cream that you put it on in the morning, but by the next morning, your levels have dropped a little bit, the pellets maintain a steady state. And a lot of patients truly love that. What are the risks and benefits? That's always the biggest question. And back in the olden days, I call it, which was only 20 years ago, I mean, patients were petrified. They were like, oh my God, I don't want to take hormones. My mom's doctor said, this is just a phase of life. Well, what's amazing is hormones, especially the bioidentical, hormones have been around forever in the United States. The bioidentical has been really popular over the past 20 years. So why is it in Europe that they've been doing hormones, bioidentical hormones, for over 40 or 50 years, and they maintain them throughout the patient's lifetime? If you think about it, as we're going in life, we talked about it at the beginning. Hormones are basically the mainstay of your body's messenger system. So it protects every organ in your body. It protects your brain, your heart, your skin, everything. So if we're going through menopause and these levels are dropping, why are we not giving it back to the patient if they don't have a risk factor? Why is it, if we're dealing with men's health or in Europe, they do it forever? So that's where the big push in the United States is why are we stopping it at a certain level? If it maintains your messenger system to your body, why are we going to shut the highway down all of a sudden? So, and why is it that the old saying that used to drive me nuts is, well, you're going to go through menopause for 3 to 5 years. Well, what happens after 5 years? You feel like Superman, $1 million? No, it's just going to continually get worse. Menopause just doesn't stop at 5 years. You might have less symptoms at 5 years, but you're still going through menopause. Your bone mass is breaking down. Your muscles are breaking down. So that's what our whole goal is with the hormone therapy, is to maintain what you have and maybe even build on it. So for our patients, and I know that other physicians throughout the world feel the same way, is we talk about risk factors. So if you're the type of patient who smokes 2 packs a day, maybe this isn't a good idea for you, because we're worried about your health and we need you to worry about your health. So smoking is going to definitely increase your risk for blood clots, strokes, and even lung cancer. So we discuss those risk factors with patients. If you've ever had a blood clot before due to smoking, or due to a genetic disorder like factor V Leiden or other types of hemophilia disorders, then hormone therapy might not be your benefit. If you have a strong family history of breast cancer and you've tested positive for the gene marker for it, then those patients we have to follow really, really closely, and also talk about future risks of ovarian, colon cancer, especially with their genetic testing. The other big thing that we tend to do for our patients is we talk about some of the benefits of it. Other than the stuff we talked about, it decreases your risk of colon cancer. It helps build your bone density. It helps build your vaginal health. It also helps with your skin, your sense of well-being. So there's a lot of advantages to replacing the hormone that you're missing versus, let's just wait and see what happens. The other big thing that patients ask me a lot of times is, how long can I take this? My doctor told me, or my other provider told me, that I'm supposed to only do this for 3 years. And that's where we talked about just a minute ago, is who chose 3 years? Is there someone in the ivory tower that just chose 3 or 5 years? Because I'd like to know who it is. Is it because your risk factors after 5 years go up? If you look at the Women's Health Initiative trial, the risk factors didn't go up after 5 years. So I tell patients, as long as you're healthy, as long as your body's hormonally balanced and you're doing well, we'll assess it on a year-by-year basis. We also make all of our patients have yearly mammograms and well checks. So it could be with their doctor's office or with ours. It doesn't matter. The nice thing is that you're being seen by a physician practice. We manage all of our patients. We're not a cookie cutter or a franchise that manages hormone therapy. So When it comes to how long, it's patient by patient based. I mean, I have patients right now in their 70s and 80s that are on hormone therapy, and I have some that are in their late 40s that can't take it anymore. One of the other big things that we're going to be doing during this podcast is answering questions that you might have during the podcast, and I'll have someone from our staff read us the questions that you might have. At the end of the day, what I want to try to get is a sense of balance with hormone therapy. There's no reason that we should shut the door on women's health. The big thing I want to do is not treat symptoms in women's health. I want to treat the disorder and the disease. So thank you for tuning in, and I think we're going to answer a few questions right now.
Dr. Chaban, there's a message from Allison. She's a 52-year-old female, and she's noticed over the past several years that she can't lose weight, and she's had an increase in being tired. She wants to know if bioidentical hormones can help her with that.
So that's a great question. So what we tend to do is we tend to go over diet, exercise that the patient that's coming in for the consult is having, and we'll draw hormone levels, because what you're describing can definitely be the estrogen, testosterone related, but surprisingly, it could be your thyroid. So we'll test the thyroid and go from there. What you'll notice in perimenopause leading into menopause is you would say to yourself, you know, for me to lose 2 pounds in a week was easy with exercise and diet. Now to lose 2 pounds takes me a month and a half. I'm eating the same food, I'm exercising the same amount. And those are the signs that some of your hormones are dropping. And the testosterone can definitely affect your muscle mass and body fat, and the estrogen combined with it will affect your metabolism as well.
That's great. And then Jen, she's a 56-year-old female. She feels like since menopause that her sex drive has dropped dramatically. She used to blame it on work, but now she's not sure. Any thoughts?
This is one of the most common consults that we get in our office is patients will say, I love my husband to death. Over the years, it's just dropped dramatically. And I think it's related to stress in our family, our grandkids, or work. And I try to explain to patients, let's just draw the labs and see. And when we draw the hormone levels, and usually they're undetectable at that time, and I explain to them the effects, they go, you're kidding. So I go, let's just see what happens. And the biggest line that I tend to use with my patients is, we're not married to any of this. We can take different paths of hormone therapy. We can go the synthetic route, the bioidentical route. We can do whatever they want. But as soon as I give them the estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and within 4 weeks, they're in the office for repeat blood work, they go, oh my God, now I know what I was missing. And end up reversing 20 years versus hormonal effects. So yes, definitely we can work with that.
Great. And then we have April, who is 71. She's always been a very active person. Recently, she's noticed an increase in her bladder infections and pain with intolerance. Is there anything that she can do about that?
You know, that's a great question. So early on, when we talked about the hormone therapy, we talked about estrogen effects on your skin, your vaginal mucosa. So what tends to happen in perimenopause and then really rapidly in menopause is you get a syndrome called vaginal atrophy. So the vaginal tissue becomes very thin. It's almost like a baby's newborn's vagina. It becomes very thin, and it makes you more susceptible to infections. Patients become more susceptible to bladder infections, yeast infections, and that vaginal thinning causes severe pain with intercourse. It even causes severe pain for some patients that are still having bleeding from their menstrual cycle of just putting a tampon in. And it's, we call it, by looking at it, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe vaginal atrophy. And the lack of estrogen will increase your risk of a bladder infection through your urethra. So we tend to give patients, we can give them bioidentical estrogen creams. We can use the synthetic creams that work really well too, and the vaginal. The big thing that I tend to tell patients when we're looking at the vaginal approach of treating with hormone therapy is that's more of a local effect. There's minimal effect that gets into the bloodstream. There is some that gets in there, but it's not enough to say, oh my gosh, it's changed my life dramatically. No, it's working more of a local. And eventually, once we get that vaginal mucosa where the patient's satisfied and happy, then the other types of hormone therapy, whether she's doing creams, pills, pellets, patch, that'll maintain what she's got. But yes, definitely, definitely. At 71, those are some of the signs and symptoms of vaginal atrophy. But we would take an exam as well to make sure there's nothing else that's going on other than the atrophy.
Okay. And then we have 48-year-old Dominique. She was recently diagnosed as perimenopausal, and her doctor has said that she may be done in 3 to 5 years. Is that true?
No. I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier that tends to be so frustrating for providers throughout the U.S. and the world that treat hormone therapy is, again, who chose 3 to 5 years? Is it just like a magic number that everything becomes better at that time? So I think what they've done is they've said to get from perimenopause to full-blown menopause is 3 to 5 years. But again, I try to educate my patients in letting them know that at the five-year mark, it's not like you can hang things up and go, okay, we're totally fine now. We're in the clear. That's not what it was intended for. So I think that what we do with patients like this is we draw your blood levels, and I describe the FSH the most basic. It's an ovarian function. I try to make it basic by saying, if your FSH is less than 10, let's say it comes back at 6, you're fertile myrtle. If it's around 20, you're going through menopause, or your body's trying to figure out, do I want to be 30 or do I want to be 50? And if it's over 40, then you're in the menopausal range. And that's where they talk about the perimenopause from the 20 to the 40 range. But those numbers aren't definite. I mean, you could have a 40 this month, and next month it could be 20 when you're going through the perimenopause. So we usually look at not having a period for a year or following your FSH levels. But definitely, definitely, this is a lifelong process. It's not a process that's settled in 3 days or 5 days. And if once we realize that and we manage it, I think patients will do extremely well.
Excellent. And then we also have our last question from Maribel. She's 40, and she's at an age, she wants to know if there's an age that you can start hormones, and then when would you stop?
So that's a great question. It's an amazing question, to be honest with you, because I get a lot of patients in their 30s and 40s who are still having a menstrual cycle, and they come in and they go, you know, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I had an amazing energy level, amazing sex drive. There's something going on. So besides doing the normal blood work and checking the thyroid, we look at what birth control are you on? And that's one of the biggest culprits is birth control, especially the combination birth control pills, the synthetic pills, can affect your testosterone level. So I remember I did in residency, my research was contraception and hormone therapy. And one of the PhDs in New York used to say birth control was originally invented to prevent the desire of getting pregnant because it affects your testosterone and it affects all your hormone levels. So a lot of times I can just adjust the patient's contraception and their testosterone builds back up or their hormone levels build back up. And other times she's right. We have to supplement them with a little bit of testosterone to offset it. But we look at the complete picture. Is it progesterone IUD? Is it a depot shot that they took that's affecting it? And then last part of that question is how long? Again, it's a patient-by-patient basis. I don't put a number on anyone that's used for everyone. So I could have one patient that I use the hormone therapy on her till she's 55, and then I have some that are in their 70s. It just depends on the route that we're going and how well the patient's doing and if they're happy with it. Again, we're not married to any of this stuff. We can go down different paths.
Great. Thank you so much.
So again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we're going to try to do these podcasts twice a month. And if there's any topic you want to talk about, I'll do anything you want. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.